Welcome to the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast presented by the Chiefs Focus Network. Where you talks about the NFL from end zone to end zone and all 100 yards in between. Without further ado, here's you.
Yo, what it do? This is the 100 Yard Dash Football Podcast. My name is simple. My name is very, very simple. It's you.
You, detective, you? Not you, you. Who? You. Who? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Don't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. And that's the letter, not the word. And what's happening? How y'all doing? It's been a while. Been a second. Been a little bit. Had some things happen. Had to move around some things. But I'm back now, so that's all that matters, right? That's all that matters. So my name is you, the letter, not the word, and I'm your host. What's happening? You can find the 100 Yard Dash at any place that you find your podcasts. You got to make sure that you understand. I have to make sure that you understand that if you search for 100 Yard Dash, you ain't going to find it. That's just, you're not going to find it. You might, if you know what you're doing, but you probably ain't going to find it. And the reason I say that is because I am a part of the Chiefs Focus Network, and all the podcasts that they have under their network is under their Chiefs Focus umbrella. So if you go search Chiefs Focus, you'll find me. And my episodes will be in there under their umbrella. So we keep it moving. Now, I try to do this once a week. Been off for the last couple. It is what it is. Sometimes I do it earlier in the week. Sometimes I do it later in the week, but I normally do it on Wednesdays. So just set your notifications. You can know when I'm on, and you can join me, interact with me live by joining the StreamYard stream, the Chiefs Focus Twitch stream, or you can hit up the Chiefs Focus YouTube page. And then, of course, like and subscribe there as well. There was some other announcement I had to make, but it don't matter. It don't matter, I don't think. So we keep it moving. Oh, Lord. All right. So the rundown of the show. We got the news, obviously. But with the news, I'm going to just go through it with the teams that I'm talking about. So I'm not going to do the news. It's not going to be a segment specifically for the news. So we'll do the week 14 recap. I'll close and we'll get out of here. So that's it. We keep it moving. Still too loud. Anywho, like I said, how y'all doing? It's been a while. But anyway, we look at the buys. And we say bye-bye to Arizona and Washington. Those two teams kind of need a little bit of a bye because I doubt they'll make the playoffs anyway. But that's the bye teams for week 14. Week 14 has two bye teams. That is Arizona, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Washington. I keep wanting to call them the football team. That's a better name than the Commanders. I'm going to say it. That's the truth. It is what it is. You shoot. Well, whatever. You can say what you want to say. You can shoot me for it. It is what it is. Let's get into it. So the Patriots beat the Pittsburgh Steelers this past week on Thursday Night Football. And it's interesting. The Patriots are 3-10. The Steelers are 7-6. This is not what we have come to know, love, and expect from, or love to hate to expect from Bill Belichick. His style of coaching has not resonated. That's the word I'm looking for. Hasn't resonated with the team that he currently has. And it ain't working. Robert Kraft knows it ain't working. So guess what they're going to do? Split ways at the end of the year. I don't know if it's time for Bill Belichick to actually hang it up. I highly doubt he will. I highly doubt he will. I wouldn't be surprised if he coaches a team like the Commanders, Chicago Bears, probably even the the Los Angeles Chargers. But those teams all have GMs. I think we're beyond the point where he's going to get the GM / head coaching job, which is going to be an interesting situation to look at, because he's always been the GM since he's been a head coach. And so this is going to be interesting. Now, for the Steelers who are like barely hanging on, obviously Mike Tomlin's going to get his winning record. That's, I mean, he's 7-6 right now. He's going to get his winning record. He's going to be above 500. All he needs is two more wins. Does that mean he'll make the playoffs? In the AFC North, I highly doubt it, but we'll see. Many things can happen. We've seen the AFC go topsy-turvy many times over the last 10 years. And even before that, you know, there was times where so many tiebreakers had to get you in. And it was a wild time back in the day. So, Pittsburgh Steelers lose to the Patriots. And here's another thing I want to mention about the Pittsburgh Steelers. While I do believe in Mike Tomlin, I don't know if I believe in the Pittsburgh Steelers at all. I just don't. I don't know what it is about them that makes them seem fraudulent, or they even seem fraudulent in years past. But it doesn't seem as though they're like real contenders. Although even when they were having a winning record and above the AFC North, it just didn't feel right. So that's that. Keep it moving. The Carolina Panthers lose to the New Orleans Saints. We already knew they was going to lose. It's the Panthers. They're not good in any way, shape, form, or fashion this season. Like, here's a concept. I always want to blame it on something. That's me. That's just me. And when I say that, I'm not just going to blame it on bad coaching. Sometimes I do blame it on bad coaching. Let's be real. But I'm not going to blame it on, like, these are all young professionals. They are pros, period. Even though they suck. That's not the word I'm looking for. Even though they're not great in their profession on this level as a team, they're still professionals. So that doesn't mean – so that means a college team can't come in here and beat them. I highly doubt it. And even if they did, they wouldn't beat them in a series of three. So I understand that. But the Panthers are, like, bad. They fired Matt Rhule. I mean, not Matt Rhule. Frank Reich. I don't know why I keep getting them mixed up. But anyway, we keep it moving. They fire Frank Reich. Frank Reich went back to Philadelphia to be with his once protege. And now they have a new guy whose name escapes me, and I don't feel like looking it up. So the Panthers score 6 points against the Saints. The Panthers are 1-12. The Saints are 6-7. They rushed for 200 plus yards, which is a good thing. It's a great thing that they rushed for 207 yards, 200 plus yards. I think it's 207 total. They hold the Saints to less than 200 yards total. Like, the Saints didn't get over 210 yards, I don't believe. But they still lost. They played a good individual game of football, but they still lost. What the business is? I'm baffled. I know David Tepper thinks he's doing the right thing by firing all these coaches of these various teams that he owns. I know he's coach. I mean, he owns like four franchises. And as far as I heard, he's fired six coaches in 3 years, something like that. Six coaches in 3 years in, amongst many different sports. But this is bad. This is bad. And with the way he handles business, it probably won't get better any sooner. Because you do anything wrong, if he has an idea, he seems like the guy that's going to come in and try to tell you how to do it. But I didn't bring you in for that. You didn't bring me in for that. You brought me in to run the team. I'm going to run the team the way I see fit. But this is my official bid. Put my hat in the bid. I want to be the head coach. I don't care if you fire me. It's fine. I'll get over it. I will get over it, Dave. Sir Tepper, Mr. Tepper. I will get over it. Okay. But it ain't going to get better soon because I don't think he's going to be able to lure a prominent coach with pedigree down there in Carolina for many reasons, many reasons. Some of those reasons have football reasons and other ones have to do with the state that he's in. Given their hardcore stance on political things, there's nothing to do down there. The Saints, a lot of frustration with this team, but they still get a win. I know the center and Derek Carr were getting into some strife. There was a lot of strife going on the sidelines on this game, but you know, they secure a win and a great win. Cause you don't want to be the one to lose to this team. You just don't. You don't, as the Saints, you don't want to be the team that loses to the Panthers. As we keep it moving, so the Detroit Lions. You know what? Honestly, I prepare so much for this show that I forget about some things, and I forgot about these. Anyway, so the Lions play the Bears. They go to Chicago and play the Bears. Yeah, that didn't work out so well. So the Lions lose to the Bears 13-28. Lions fall to 9-4. Bears are, what, 5-8? And, this wasn't supposed to happen. The Lions have been roaring all over the place. And then they get to the end of the season and it's not looking great. They were in control. They're not in control now. They're not currently in control of much. But let's relax. The Lions losing a little bit of steam here, but they're still ahead of the NFC North. That's something. They should still win the NFC North. They'll make the playoffs. This was a division rival. However, the Lions have to stop the bleeding. The Lions have to stop the bleeding because this could get out of control. So you got to realize that it's, next week is almost a must-win type of situation. You don't want to lose two in a row. So from that front, it's bad. But really, you should relax. If you're a Lions fan, you should relax. They'll make the playoffs. They'll be head of the NFC North. They'll probably win the AFC North, and then they'll have their playoff spot, which they haven't had since 1990-something, early 1990-something, like 1991, not playoffs. They went to the playoffs with Stafford, but they hadn't won a game. They hadn't won a playoff game since 1990-something. So, anyway, let's keep moving to the Bears. This was probably the best game of their season. Probably the best game of their season. I mean, that's all. That's all I really got for the Bears, because the Bears aren't a great team. They just aren't. And I don't know what. I just don't know if they plan on firing Matt Eberflus. I just don't know. Here's what I do feel. Unless they get themselves out of the pick, which I doubt they will, but they have the number one. They have the Panthers pick of last year, because the Panthers traded them a bevy of picks for the number one overall pick last season. The Panthers stink, and they will have the number one pick. So guess who that goes to? That goes to Chicago. So with that being said, the Chicago Bears have a number one pick still. Will they trade it off, or will they go for, I mean, or will they keep it? Remains to be seen. But either way, I have to me, if I'm looking at it right now from my point of view, if I was the GM, you can't go by and let a Drake May or a Caleb Williams get by you. You just can't, because you're probably firing Eberflus at the end of the season. You can't let those dudes get by, because as much as you're getting draft picks, if you ain't winning, at some point they are going to get rid of you. So while you're building for the future, you still need to build for right now as well. Period. So we keep it moving. Zach Wilson has his best offensive game after being reluctant to take the quarterback one role again. So, tough break for Houston. Let's talk about Houston first. Houston falls to 7-6. They're on the outskirts of the playoffs. And it's just a tough break for them, because everything's not falling into place. It's just not their year yet. Tank Dell is already out. Nico Collins got hurt. Dalton Schultz is out. Stroud got concussed. It's just not a great time to be a Texan. It just isn't, unfortunately. However, the future is looking very, very bright. Very, very bright for the Houston Texans, and hopefully they can stay the course and keep it going like they are doing. Let's talk about the Jets. The Jets, they break a 5-game losing streak. Big deal there. Big deal. And they break it with Zach Wilson doing his thing. 27 for 36, 301 yards, 76% completion rating. Completion percentage, 2 touchdowns. That's crazy. He's probably, I haven't looked at the top throwers of the week, but he's probably top 5 in that metric. But I want to warn you, don't let this version of Zach Wilson fool you into thinking that you're going to squeeze, what's the saying? Squeeze something from a turnip? Squeeze blood from a turnip? Yeah, that. Don't go into, you cannot think that you're going to go into this season and squeeze blood from the turnip that is Zach Wilson. You do it, it's an Aaron of fools. But then again, now that I think about it, you still have Aaron Rodgers, you know. He's there. He'll do whatever it is he thinks he can do. But don't let this version of Zach Wilson fool you into thinking that this is his ceiling. For real, this is his ceiling. And it's a great ceiling. But where's his constant? Where's his consistency level? Where's that at? Because we've seen bad. It's been bad. But anyway, we keep it moving. The Colts lose to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals don't have Joe Burrow, but they still have Ja'Marr Chase. They still have Tyler Boyd. They still have T. Higgins. They still got all these other players whose name are escaping me right now. This Jake Browning situation is kind of fascinating. And I saw, first of all, Jake Browning's on a contract year. And in the words of the late, great Terrence Paylor, the contract year is undefeated. And it is. It is. The free agent possibilities ain't looking too shabby for him. There's always the bottom 32 that's looking for a guy to be their guy. I saw someone compare this Jake Browning, Joe Burrow situation to the Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe situation. And I thought it was interesting. I really did. And they said that, you know, Joe Burrow just got paid this season. And then at the time Tom Brady emerged, Drew Bledsoe had just got paid. The richest contract for a quarterback. And then he got injured. In comes Tom Brady. Joe Burrow gets injured. In comes Jake Browning. So forth, so on, what have you. The rest on Tom Brady's side is history. I don't know what it'll be with Jake Browning. But we do know one thing. The Bengals owner is cheap. Cheap. Okay. The Bengals owner is cheap. It wouldn't surprise me if they figure out a way to keep Jake Browning and trade off Joe Burrow. You get the picks. I mean, you get a host of picks. And I'm sure Ja'Marr Chase will want to leave too. But I don't think that the Ja'Marr Chase situation is going to be the same thing. Because they might trade him off too. Because he's got the fifth-year option. He's got the franchise tag. And then, of course, they can trade him. So it's interesting to me. It's interesting to me. I just know dude's cheap. That's it. And I can relate to that because I'm not cheap. I am frugal. And I will try to save a buck. I will try to save a buck or two. And not at the cost of the product, but I will try to save a buck or two. Like here's an example. And I cook a lot. So I'm not about to run to the store just because I forgot the Worcestershire sauce. I'm not calling it Wash Your Sister sauce. That's not what it's called. I'm not about to run to the store for Worcestershire sauce. That's not happening. But here's what I can do. I do have soy sauce. I do have ketchup. You mix those two, you get that umami flavor that you're looking for. I'm not about to do all that. So I'm not about to waste time, energy, and then go get this stuff. Like on some levels, I'm that guy. But with you competing for AFC championships, in it with the Browns every year, I mean, in it with the Chiefs every year, that's not a good thing. Like I would think that you have thought this through and hopefully that you liked this winning culture. Because the winning culture, yeah, you might be cheap. You might not have a lot of money. Like you might not have a lot of liquid funds. But bringing in a winning culture somewhere always nets you more financially than it would, if you understand what I'm saying. I've talked enough on this subject. We keep it moving. Man, the Jags, are they contenders or pretenders? I can't tell you. The Jags, the Browns beat the Jags 31-27. Yeah, I really don't know what to say or do with this information. So the Browns beat the Jags, and they're both 8-5. I didn't see this coming. At the beginning of the year, the Jaguars were touted to be the represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. Still can happen. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, it still can happen. However, I didn't expect them to be 8-5 to this point. I thought they probably have three losses somewhere around three, maybe four, definitely not five. But they got the same record as the Browns. So it is what it is. Why aren't the Jags living up to the expectation that we had? They were Super Bowl favorites early in the season. That's it. While the Browns over here fighting for their quarterback lives, they got Deshaun Watson on that fully guaranteed contract. They bring in they have DTR. They run with him for a little while. He's getting injured. He got injured. They brought in They had another kid. He gets injured. Now they own Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is now their quarterback one. And he just came in and busted up the Jags. Busted them up. And Njoku was big and huge in this game, which I love to see because you know I'm a tight end fanatic. And also, DeJuan Jones, that left tackle, is out for the rest of the season, which kind of stinks for them. So they'll have to figure that out. Do the Cleveland Browns. But as of now, they're 8-5 fighting for their playoff lives and doing a dang good job at it because that defense is still all right. They got four sacks on Trevor Lawrence. They're all right. So they just got to figure out how to get some more wins and get into this playoff race. Let's keep it moving. The Ravens stay atop the AFC and beat the Rams in overtime. Hard fought battle here. The Ravens are 10-3. The Rams are 6-7. The Rams are fighting for their playoff lives here. The Ravens put it out there. We the best team, and we ain't here to play no games because you already know our name. It was wet and nasty in Baltimore. They come out with the win. They tied it. They tied the game in about 13 plays. They took most of overtime, but Tylan Wallace, walk-off punt return to ice the game. Beauty. It was the thing to see. The game was crazy. Okay. The Ravens show that they're not here to play no games. They want that number one seed. They want that week one bye. And they probably will get it. But I do believe they have at least one more loss in their arsenal. I do believe they have one more loss in their arsenal, but we will see what happens. Let's keep it moving. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Atlanta Falcons 29-25. I didn't really watch this game. I'm not interested in the Bucs in any level. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I do think their coach is on the hot seat, Todd Bowles. I don't think he'll get fired, but I do think he's on the hot seat. They don't even have a great prospect at quarterback in Baker Mayfield. He's not horrible, but he's not great. I don't like the Falcons. I don't like the way they run the organization. I didn't watch this game. So that's just period, like period.com. But Drake London had himself a game. 172 yards on 10 receptions. That's my player of the week. For me, that's personally. Yeah. So let's keep it moving. This was a horrible game to watch, too. This was a horrible game to watch. It was bad, bad, bad. The Vikings score 3. The Raiders score 0. The score is 3-0. Were they playing soccer? Like in the 90s, in the early 90s, this is an acceptable score. Because they had a stronger defense, they could play much more downhill. Hideous game to watch. No, this is bad. And I will say this. Well, let's go to the records. The Vikings are 7-6. The Raiders are 5-8. And the clock seems to have struck midnight on Joshua Dobbs. He had himself a little, I don't know what you want to call it, a stroke of luck that he was just in here balling. Balling, I tell you. But it reminds me of the Lynn Sanity situation. I think Lynn Sanity, to make a cross-sport analogy, Lynn Sanity had like, what was that? A week of just maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3. I can't remember. But he was just on fire. Haven't heard from him since. And I think that's the concept that we're going to see with Josh Dobbs. And Josh Dobbs was also benched for Nick Mullen. So it is what it is, you know. Clock just struck midnight. It is what it is. Keep it moving. The Seattle Seahawks clash with probably the best team in the NFL. I think they're better than them. And here's the thing. Let me go back. And this is one of the things I should have said earlier. But every contender, every true contender, everybody with a winning record to this point has had to go through a time, like a stretch of tumultuous football. A stretch. Some people's stretch lasted for a week. Some team stretches lasted for a week. Some teams lasted for 3 weeks. And the 49ers are not exempt from that. They're not. I already knew the 49ers was going to beat the Seahawks. Like, the Seahawks took the Cowboys down to the wire, right? Yeah, they wasn't doing that with the 49ers, period. They wasn't doing that with the 49ers. The 49ers ain't here to play with y'all at all. Ain't happening, okay? So, with that being said, I knew the 49ers was going to just eat them up. No problems. No questions asked. The Seahawks are 6-7. The 49ers are 10-3. You remember that time where they lost like 2 in a row? They won one, I think, and then lost another one. They lost like 3 out of the 4 games or whatever. Something crazy like that. I'm not going to look it up. But those situations where, you know, there was tumultuous situations. The Chiefs are going through it now. The Jags are going through it now. The Eagles are going through it now. Let's see. There's some more. The Dolphins could possibly be going through it now. Let's see. You know, and the Lions are going through it now. It's just one of those situations. Baltimore went through it earlier. It's just that time where it's just you don't understand, you don't feel, What's up, Philip? The AFC picture is going to be interesting. I completely agree. But like I was saying, you know, every top team, every team that's probably going to be in the playoffs has had that time of tumultuous of just having downtime. And they're going to have that. That's just the way it works. But you go on a run, you go on a stretch where it's just not in your favor. Like I said, the 49ers had theirs. They lost like three or four in the middle of the season. They bounced back from that and ended up being juggernauts. These dudes are juggernauts. I think they're the best football team playing right now. When I say right now, I mean this week. This week. They're probably the best team in the NFL. They look super strong. You never know. They look, to me, they look even stronger than the Ravens. And the Ravens look really good. But we'll see what happens because each week brings on a new situation. But I knew they were going to beat the Seahawks. I absolutely already knew they were going to beat the Seahawks. It's just one of those things. The Seahawks, I know what Pete Carroll's trying to do. I know what Pete Carroll's trying to do. He's trying to, it feels like to me, that he's trying to recreate the Legion of Boom when he drafted Witherspoon, or is it draft? When he got Witherspoon, and then he's got Adams and so forth and so on back there. It feels like he's trying to recreate the Legion of Boom. He might not be meaning to, but he's doing it at some, like he's either doing it on purpose or he's doing it accidentally. It's happening. But I just already knew the 49ers were going to just like rip a chunk out. And they did. 28-16. It's over. Anyway, we keep it moving. All right. Let's talk about it. This game. And I got a lot to say about it. Yeah, that's period. I've heard so much rhetoric. I have not said a lot about it. I've said some things, but not a lot. But I'm going to today. Y'all know the Chiefs are my team. And you know I still got them in the playoffs. I still think they're in the playoffs. I still think they get to the championship. However, this game wasn't lost when Tony was called for offensive offsides. He was offsides, by the way. This game was lost after the fumble, a few offensive plays after Kelce's near fumble. Once they overturned that, that's when this game got a little dicey. All right. That plus a slow start on offense and defense is what kind of lost this game. And Mahomes has been all season, he's been a 2-liter bottle of Coke. And each loss was like a Mentos. Each loss was a Mentos. You pop them in there, you close the top. Each game that the Chiefs scored less than 25 was a Mentos. You pop them in there, close the cap. Every receiver drop, there's been a lot of them, is a Mentos. You put them in there, close the cap. Every interception, whether it was his fault or otherwise, was a Mentos. You pop up in there, close the cap. Y'all watch YouTube. Y'all watch TikToks. Y'all watch these Facebook reels. Y'all watch these YouTube reels, Facebook, whatever they call them. Y'all know what happens with Mentos and Coke. Y'all know what happens. And it happened in that game on Sunday. He blew up. That's it. Period. And it was uncharacteristic of Mahomes. It was just uncharacteristic of him because he's so normally, he's so controlled and even keeled that it's just not something you see from him. The wear and tear, Phillip said, the wear and tear is showing on defense. Absolutely. Let's not forget that. Pacheco's return should make things better, in my opinion. I agree with that. But with the Patrick Mahomes thing, he knows this team He knows he's better than this, period. We know, we've seen him be better than this. I do think there was some failure from the front office on this year. But like I said before, they're still 8-5. It's not like we're going to encounter a losing season here. You know, it's not a failure if we go 8-5 and you're still going to be in the playoffs. But they are performing much lesser than they should be doing. And like I said, every interception, a Mentos and the Coke. Every receiver drop, a Mentos and the Coke. You know, Travis Kelce doesn't feel like his head's in the game. Not all the time. A Mentos and the Coke. And it's going to explode. It's going to happen. And he did it. And, of course, he issued his apology on Monday or Tuesday, one or two. And he just let it all get to him at one spot, and I don't blame him. It is what it is. It is what it is. Sunday was just too much for him to hold in. It was an AFC, quote-unquote, rival. The Chiefs could have buried him. Mahomes hasn't lost 5 games in his career, in his professional career. So much was going on. And he just blew up. And it is what it is. We all have moments of despondency, despair, moments of outrageousness. It happens. But he owned up to it. He lived up to it. And he will obviously live to play another down. And I do believe he will. He's probably already had a softer response to the receivers. I definitely think that's going to be one of those kick it into gear type of responses. Philip Mahomes wasn't just mad at the refs. Agreed. He's tired of saying the right stuff in press conferences. He wants guys to play better or get out of the way. And here's where we see. I don't know. But there's going to be I talked about this before, and I've talked about this, I think, the last season. There's going to come a time where he's going to embrace the villain role. There's going to come a time where nice Mahomes is out the door. And when I say that, he's going to be nice, but he's going to embrace that villain role. He's not going to be out here cussing all the time, like all that stuff. But he's going to just be that guy. When I say be that guy, he is going to be a savage. And he already is, but he's so nice with it. I've always wanted him to lean into the villain role. But he's going to turn heel. And I'm going to give you a cross entertainment example. Sting, WCW, NWO. When Sting went from the colorful guy that you knew to the black and white Sting with the baseball bat. If you know anything about wrestling, you know Sting was a favorite. And then for the first few months, years, you never knew which side Sting was on. But you assumed he was on the NWO because he had the black and white. So you gotta figure out, and that I just came up with that comparison. Mahomes is probably gonna end up going the route that Sting went. I believe. I think we probably got another year before we see that come to fruition. But yeah, Sting coming from the rafters. Let's see. They never gave Brady this treatment when he dropped F-bombs. Of course not. On Cleet Blakeman in Monday Night Football when he screamed at his O-line when they lost the Steelers last season. They called it heroics, but 15 is a crybaby. That's how it works, bro. They don't. People like Tom Brady. They don't like Mahomes. I don't know why they don't, but they don't. But my cross-entertainment comparison. Mahomes is Sting. I see it happening.
And I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I was in those NWO years. And I remember that coming from the rafters, the baseball bat, the whole nine, period. Mahomes probably should go ahead and become that now. Like, he could do it later, but what's the point? He should probably go ahead and do that now. Anyway, we keep it moving. Now, see, this is what happens to me all the time. I try to up my game as far as my graphics are concerned, and I always forget one thing. Always. But anyway, the Broncos beat the Chargers 24-7. Let's see what Phillip said. NWO Attitude Era forever. I'm a 90s kid, family. Yes, NWO forever, for sure, for sure. The Broncos beat the Chargers 24-7. Broncos are 7-6. Chargers are 5-8. The Broncos are like right on the heels of the Chiefs, like one game behind. One game. And that's the division here. So the Chiefs don't have any time to play around. Herbert has a season-ending hand injury. And the Broncos just are a mediocre team that are hot on defense. They got a good coach, and they got a good defense. And yes, they are winning now, but, you know, they're not playing great teams. Even with that being said, the Chiefs don't have any time to waste. I do give credit to Sean Payton. At one point, I wasn't sure if Sean Payton was going to be the guy to lead them out of this, because that was a tumultuous first of the season. That first half of the season was all bad. But Sean Payton knows defense. They had the pieces on defense. They were talking about – there was a lot of people talking about they were going to get rid of certain players. They were going to get rid of, you know, I'm trying to think. I think they said Patrick Surtain Jr. was on the idea of trading him. They thought, who else? You know, they had already traded Chubb. The thought was coming. All the thoughts were there. But they turned it around, and look where we're at now, 7-6. They're a win away from the Chiefs. If they keep it going, they could probably take the AFC West, but I don't think that'll happen. We'll see. Now, the Chargers, man, the Chargers aren't good. They just aren't. They haven't been for a long time. And I don't know, having a franchise quarterback changes a lot of things. They have a franchise quarterback. They still can't get nowhere. They just can't. I don't understand what it is the Chargers have or want or have. I don't know. I don't know. We got to keep it moving because I'm losing time here. The Cowboys beat the Eagles 33-13, takes the Cowboys to 10-3, takes the Eagles to 10-3. And, you know, I will say this. The Cowboys do look strong. The Cowboys look almost unstoppable. Even without Diggs, they look freaking amazing. But in the playoffs, they're probably going to be a whole different story. But that remains to be seen. Let's look at the Eagles. The Eagles lost that game. They won all these games moving up to this point. And I'm going to say this. It stinks. I'm saying it. It stinks to, like, go undefeated for so long and then get to the end and just run out of steam. Because I think that's what the Eagles are. That's what's happening with the Eagles. They're just running out of steam. No, they're not the same team that they were last year. But I do believe the loss of Shane Steichen and
the other guy that went to the other coordinator that went to the Arizona Cardinals, Shane Steichen and they're having them not there really stinks because they were able to go on a run, but they still never looked whole. They never looked whole, if you understand what I'm saying. They never looked like it was it kept going. Dak is top three MVP. I do agree with that. Now with the Cowboys situation, Jonathan Gannon, thank you. With the Cowboys situation, I know I'm not a fan of Mike McCarthy, period. Let's just call a spade a spade. I'm not a fan of Mike McCarthy. I've always thought he needed an MVP at quarterback to get him over the hump. Maybe everybody does, but I still haven't been a fan of Mike McCarthy, period. I agree with that, period. I do agree with it. Gannon was the Eagles' DC last season, and that's why the Eagles are having issues on defense. Not to mention their defensive backs are super old. Slay, what's the other name? I keep wanting to call him Burberry. It's not Burberry. I can't remember, but it doesn't matter. I'm not a fan of Mike McCarthy, period. But there was a time, I think on their second loss, Bradberry. Thank you, sir. I think there was a time on either their first loss or their second loss where Mike McCarthy had his staff be in a room and they just worked through some things and they figured it out. So what I read, and they came out better on the other side as a result of it. They came better on the other side as a result of it. And the Cowboys look super strong. I am interested to see if the Eagles can hold on. I think they're tied for the NFC East. So I'm going to see who wins this, and we'll see what happens in the playoffs. But, boy, it's crunch time now. I don't know. I don't know if the Super Bowl loss, the Super Bowl loser, the loser in the Super Bowl curse, you know, they normally don't get back for a while. And I think that's going to happen to the Eagles because a lot of people think that the Eagles will be there. I don't. But we'll keep it moving. The Cowboys look strong, but I don't think they look stronger than the 49ers. We keep it moving. The runner-up curse. Thank you, sir. So the Packers lose to the Giants. Now, the Giants, here's the thing about it. This game was crazy. It was freaking wild. DeVito just walked the Giants down the field and put them in field goal position. And they nailed it. Most of y'all know that I thought it was stupid to sign Daniel Jones to a competitive contract. I think most of y'all knew that. Anybody who listens or watched this show, Philip, real quick. I fear the Niners getting Zach Ertz, man. I don't know why the Chiefs wouldn't get Zach Ertz. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, but we're going to keep that moving. DeVito, credit to Mike Kafka for working with DeVito. DeVito just walked the Giants down the field, just walked them down the field and put them in the field goal position. And they nailed it. Everybody who ever listened to this show knows that I put the New York Giants on freaking blast for absolutely signing this dude to a new contract. Daniel Jones, first of all, was overdrafted by freaking Gettleman. Gettleman's a bad GM, and we all know that. He hired three head coaches in 6 years. Not only that, Gettleman was a bad GM. He shouldn't have never picked positional value. He shouldn't have never picked Daniel Jones at what was 6, 7, or 8, whatever it was. And he was going to be there later on in the round.
you out here picking because you think somebody's going to take them. You're absolutely nuts. Dave Gettleman did that. There, he's no longer there. He stepped down a long time ago. But Daniel Jones getting that contract was absolutely asinine to me. Absolutely asinine. He got the contract, and then he got injured. Wasn't playing well to that point at all. At all. And that's exactly what I was talking about. So much so, I do think Kafka's on the chopping block. Don't know if he will be, but if he does, I hope he comes back to Kansas City because I really wanted to see him with PM2. But whatever. With that being said, DeVito is exactly what I was telling them to go do. You brought in, what's his name? The head coach. I got to look it up because I can't remember dude's name. Dable, Brian Dable. It finally came to me. You brought in Brian Dable to fix a guy in Daniel Jones because Daniel Jones was just not getting it done as the play caller of the Giants. No, duh. You draft him too early, but that's neither here nor there. With that being said, in my opinion, you should have just went and got another guy like Daniel Jones. It's not like Daniel Jones was a generational quarterback. He's a Jag. Okay, let's throw him a step up. He's a little bit higher than a Jag because of the position he plays. You could have went and got that in the draft. Look at DeVito. I do think there is some splash of Lynn sanity in DeVito, like I talked about earlier with Josh Dobbs. I do think he's playing above himself. But it seems like he understands the playbook. It seems like he understands his coaches. He understands the mission. He's just getting it done. Am I saying sign DeVito to a long-term contract? Absolutely not. But you brought in Brian Dable as an organization, as the New York Giants, to breathe life into the quarterback position. Why in the world are you handcuffing yourself to an inadequate quarterback and paying him crazy amounts of money that we know he's not worth when it comes to the stats? Get out of here. And now look what we got. DeVito absolutely just doing it. DeVito doesn't prove my theory, but he definitely doesn't hurt my thesis on that theory. Anyway, let's keep it moving. Last one here. Crazy game. 27-28. And it was Titans 13, Dolphins 27 with 2 minutes and 46 seconds left to play. The Titans made some seemingly grave mistakes to get to this point. They muffed a punt, which the Dolphins recovered, and they fumbled, which the Dolphins recovered. So Titans sacked Tua, Dolphins punt, Titans muffed the punt, and the Dolphins recover inside the six. They eventually scored. Titans 13, Dolphins 20. Because it was 13-13 for the longest, right? So Titans sack to a Dolphins punt. Titans muff the punt, and Dolphins recover inside the six. They eventually score. Titans 13, Dolphins 20. Derrick Henry fumbles a pass out of the backfield. Bradley Chubb recovers with 5 minutes and 28 seconds left in the game. Masterson scores the next TD to make the running back. Can't remember. I think it's Masterson. Masterson scores the next TD to make it 13-27. The Titans score on a D-hop reception while the Dolphins were playing a lackadaisical prevent defense. And they turned it to 19-27 with 2:40 left on the clock. They go for the 2-point conversion and it's good. 21-27. Miami possession. Dolphins eventually have to punt. Derrick Henry eventually scores after the Titans march down the field relatively quickly, and they take the lead after with the PAT. Tyreek had an ankle injury in the first quarter, but he went back out there and he ended up coming back. But the Titans battled back to win this one. Levis had a lot of issues in the first half, sacks, INTs for a touchdown, all that kind of stuff. But he came back to win this game against the touted Dolphins. That's a big deal. Will Levis is creating a situation for himself where he can lean on during tough times. And I don't think they won't make the playoffs. I don't think, but this could be something to move into next season with for Will Levis. Cause he probably should have been playing from Jump Street. Right. But it is what it is. So the Dolphins lose, or the Titans win 27-28. So as we look at the playoff pictures, 49ers are the only team that has clinched thus far. Crazy, right? Again, middle of the season. We thought it was DEFCON, whatever the worst one is. We thought it was DEFCON 57, whatever it happens to be. But here they are. They've clinched ahead of the Eagles. They clinched ahead of the Cowboys. They're the only ones clinched. The Patriots and the Panthers are mathematically eliminated. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting, very interesting postseason. I've reached my time. I'm over time. I appreciate everybody that's listening. I appreciate you for tuning in, and I appreciate you for listening to the podcast. This is the 100 Yard Dash. I am you, and I'm signing off. I appreciate you listening, and of course, you can get this wherever you get your podcast. Deuces.